sand all over my catfish.
Better not be as much as you love me.
Call 1-855-KPFT-CAR, 1-855-573-8227, and donate your unwanted car, truck, RV, or motorcycle to KPFT. We'll pick it up. Your tax-deductible donation entitles you to KPFT membership, hair with luster, and teeth. Call 1-855-KPFT-CAR, 1-855-573-8227. Details at kpft.org. Hair with luster and teeth may not be available.
Despite that, you're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of Technology Bites. Thank you.
Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee. Yeah.
I'm not ready. I'm Flicted.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm Barrett.
I'm ready. I'm Dwight.
Yeah, he's ready. He's...
He's Groofhouse.
All right, welcome to the show. We're glad you could tune in. Where's Pete?
He's not ready.
He might be calling in. I've got a couple calls on the line.
Oh, you do already?
I'll check those.
All right. Well, while we're trying to collect our wits, and by wits I mean Peter Hughes, we are going to give out the information about the show. You can visit us online at geekradio.com. That is our website. We also hang out on IRC, irc.cuckoo.com, in the channel Tech Bites. You can also use the website to contact us if you need to. And there's a contact form there with all the vital things you need to contact us. Also, you can listen online. If you don't have a radio, you can use the... We have the links to the stream there, or you can go to kpft.org and listen online. And there's a geek gathering on Friday. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Special geek gathering.
It is a special geek gathering.
Yes. We'll be 18. We'll be old enough to vote and serve in the military.
That's right. It's our 18th anniversary extravaganza. We're not really going to do much, but we'll be there. And
we're not old enough to drink, but we will.
Dwight especially.
Yes.
And Dwight's been known to
buy. I'll fish like a drink.
He'll buy drink. Your drink's on Dwight.
No.
Yeah.
Are we doing body shots? What are we?
Whoa.
What do you mean drinks on Dwight?
That's where you went when you heard that? That thought had to have existed before I said anything.
Sobriety sounds mighty good right now.
Yeah, so we'll be hanging out at Cones. Cones. Or Cajones.
Cajones. Cajones.
Cons. And we'll be hanging out there on Friday night. And if the weather has been kind of like it has been, you can feel the humidity is coming back, but it's not horrible.
It's not supposed to be too bad on Friday.
Yeah.
Not supposed to be too bad.
We had a surprise thunderstorm at my house last night.
Yeah, I was, I got my motorcycle back. I was riding home on 10 and saying, like, wow, that's an awesome sunset. And just for, like, really short duration, just a burst of this really icy cold rain. And it was gone. Out by you, at I-10. So.
Oh. What were you doing in my neighborhood on your motorcycle?
I was trying to ride towards the sunset so I could see it. Because you can't really see the sunset if you're riding away from it.
BronyCon.
So. I was cruising for bronies.
Ew.
Speaking of that,
Brody, Lucy and Brony and Sunset Sam. What? Speaking of the BronyCon?
I had a jury duty on Tuesday.
And it was a trial of a Brony, or?
So I'll tell you my story.
All right, tell us your story.
So, I had jury duty, which is really not all that exciting. But I sat down jury duty and I noticed this guy a couple chairs away from me wearing
a Technology Bite shirt.
An Aperture Laboratories Dickie shirt. And I'm like, oh, it's Aperture. You know, he's a gamer. He kind of looked like he could be a gamer. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So I'm looking around. Then this big, he like 6'2", like broad-chested, you know, blonde hair, curly, like down to his shoulders guy walks in.
Describe him some more.
Wearing like a baby blue polo. And where normally there would be like a big, you know, Ralph Lauren polo character, there was a My Little Pony. I don't know which one because I don't know the My Little Pony.
You said he had a blonde mane?
So yeah. Thor is a brony?
So yeah, it's kind of had a Thor thing going on. So then I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know what? I need to make a Nerd Justice League. So then I start looking around at the rest of the crowd trying to figure out, you know, who could join. And then later on, this guy walks by. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Craig Hovati.
Really?
This Nerd Justice League is on. This is happening. So then I went back in there, and I'm sitting there waiting because nothing has happened. It's been like 2 hours. They haven't called anybody or anything, so we're just still sitting in there. So then I start thinking, like, how am I going to plan this? So in my mind, I come up with this perfect scenario, and I really, really, really wanted to do it. But I was scared that I would get thrown in jail or something because, you know, you've got a couple hundred people. They're all in this big auditorium thing that, like, all faces towards this, you know, giant wooden podium at the front with a mic and a big projector and stuff. And, I'm wearing my motorcycle goggles because I rode my motorcycle there. I'm not wearing them, but I have them with me. So I'm just thinking, all right, I've got this all planned out. I'm just going to get up because nobody's around. We're just sitting there. I'm going to get up. I'm going to walk up in front of the crowd. I'm going to get up on the podium to the mic, and I'm going to go, I'd like to thank everybody out for coming out today, for applying to be a part of the Nerd Justice League. Unfortunately, you know, superhero duties called, and I wasn't able to thoroughly review all of your applications. However, some decisions must be made. My name is Flicted. And here is the Nerd Justice League. First of all, the gamer guy with the Aperture Laboratory shirt. Second, Big Brony. Third,
called Craig Levati Big Brony.
No, the Brony.
The blonde Brony
guy. The real Brony. Craig Levati or his clone, because I'm not sure you're really him. And just to mix it up, that math, academia, nerd science looking guy there that was reading an article about how space-time bends. So anyway, thank you. And I was like, I wonder how far I could get into this before somebody came in and forcibly removed me.
Or you could be the first Nerd Justice League tasering.
But I'm
don't tase me!
But I'm thinking, it would be worth it. It would be, and all these people would have this awesome story. They could, but guess what happened to me? I went to jury duty, and dude, you'll never believe.
I got picked for the Nerd Justice.
And then somebody, I was telling Jack this story, and he was laughing. He was like, "What would be even funnier is to see how the people who you picked acted, and if they were like happy about the fact that you acknowledged that you knew what they were wearing or representing." You know, like, you know, the big brony guy stands up and goes, "Yes!"
You could say, "Nay!" And not join.
And then, yeah, Jamie asked me, she's like, "Do you think he was really a brony? Or do you think he was just wearing that to try to, like, you know, not get picked for jury duty?" And I was like, you know, I think probably, you know, it was both an avoidance and a warning. I think he really was... Because, you know, he was sitting there, and he was dressed like this, and he was playing a Nintendo 3DS. So I'm pretty sure he really was a real brony.
Maybe he's listening.
Maybe.
So you had a big old brony crush going on. A brony man.
Was it
Craig?
I don't know.
Probably, because he's been at work all week. I don't think he hadn't had jury duty.
Okay.
So probably wasn't
it was weird because I kind of saw him out of the corner of my eye, and I thought it was because, like, full sleeve tats, you know, nerd glasses,
white guy,
balding, dark hair on the around the sides, like pretty much looked just like him.
Real
but
muscular?
I wasn't sure it was him. Yeah, pretty stocky. Yeah, it looked a lot like him, but I've seen him around a few places, but I've never really talked to him, and so I didn't want to go up and say anything because I wasn't sure it was him. So I thought he might have just a clone placement.
Maybe his superhero name is Multilavity.
All right. Hello, Pete. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Glad you're here. Are you coming to the Geek Gathering birthday party thing?
Not sure. Might have family business to take care of.
Okay. Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what it would take to keep me away. I'd been planning to, but there might be competing events that I have to go to.
We'll have to pint for you.
All right, so you've got the information on the website. Internet connection back here seems better. Don't know why.
I don't know. I'm actually on wireless right now instead of last few weeks. I've been wired, so it may be bad. But I wasn't prepared, so I had to just make everything happen real fast.
Yeah.
Everybody's already drinking for the fourth and not on the internet, so you're getting a clear shot.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Tomorrow's 4th of July. I found out I do have a four-day weekend, so... Oh, you have Friday off. Yeah, I get Friday off.
That's awesome.
It's the bridge day. Unfortunately, I don't.
Does the news not sleep on Friday?
The news never sleeps.
No, it doesn't. It may cause sleep.
It may cause sleep, exactly.
All right, so what we're going to do now is we will go to San Antonio and do the Technology Bytes info shot, and then we'll come back and take your calls on Technology Bytes here on the air, answer your questions, and talk technology. So if Flicted gets through rummaging around with his wires, he'll cue up the music.
It's the Technology Bytes info shot, technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes, injected directly into your skull.
Well, sadly, I have to lead the info shot with an obituary. You may not know who the name Douglas Engelbart, who that is, what he means, but you've used technology that he's touched. He died yesterday at the age of 88, just over a half century after he joined the Stanford Research Institute, SRI, the place where much of his groundbreaking computing research would take place. Among his and his team's many inventions made at SRI are, you can track along here and see which ones you've used, in the past, if you're in the studio within probably the past 15 seconds, maybe not the mouse, but the mouse is a big deal, bitmapped screens, hypertext, network computers, and the elements of a modern windowed GUI. If you go to like Engadget or some of the other places, there's a video, or if you go look on YouTube, there's a video called The Mother of All Demos that he gave in 1968 to introduce many of his computational contributions to the world. So, this is somebody who is critically important in the computing we do today. Even with moving to touch, think about, the mouse really got us towards there from text entry. So that's Douglas Engelbart, and you certainly wouldn't do you bad if you're interested in computers to read up on him and his contributions. And the first mouse was like a huge, like this big block of wood. It was ginormous compared to what they get to now. In other news, Boston University is reportedly suing Apple for patent infringement regarding a, quote, thin film semiconductor device, unquote, found in products ranging from the iPhone to the iPad and the MacBook Air. This isn't patent trollery, you know, so I wanted to distinguish that from the ones where somebody has some vague sounding patent and they go and try to sue everybody about it. The patent in question is titled Highly Insulating Monocrystalline Gallium Nitride Thin Films. The Boston Herald reported it. In a bombshell lawsuit filed yesterday in U.S. District Court of Massachusetts, the university alleges that a small electronic component patented by computer engineering professor Theodore D. Moustakas in 1997 is included in the iPhone 5, iPad, and MacBook Air. I guess it wasn't in the other ones. Quote, defendants' acts of infringements have caused and will continue to cause substantial and irreparable damage to the university, BU alleges in its complaint. The report also notes that the university has wielded the same patent against other tech companies, including Amazon and Samsung. So, ouch on that. In other Apple news, while we're talking about Apple, Apple has trademarked the name iWatch in Japan. It filed it on June 3rd. Doesn't necessarily mean anything because companies file protective trademarks all the time, but it is one more indication that Apple's dabbling in wearable computing. You know, iWatch rumors have been flying for most of the year. We still don't have a clear idea of what it might look like or what it would do if it ever happens to come to market. One report said that the watch would run a version of iOS, but suggested that battery life issues could be holding it back. The watch also might have like a pedometer and other sensors to compete with fitness gadgets like the Nike Fuel Band and Fitbit. Apple CEO Tim Cook has previously said that, quote, amazing new hardware, unquote, would be coming out this fall and throughout 2014. But whether he meant new product categories like an iWatch or simply refreshes of Apple's existing products, well, you know, imagine the MacBook Air going 12 hours on a charge is pretty good. Or the Mac Pro, which is pretty radical. It's anyone's guess whether it's something new or just cool new versions of things they already had. Either way, there's no need to worry if the iWatch doesn't pan out. You can always rely on the Pebble Watch or the rumored devices from Samsung, Google, or Microsoft to cover your unsightly naked wrists. And in new phone stuff, the Moto X. Apparently, there's been some more details on the mysterious Moto X from Motorola Mobility. When it launches, customers will be able to choose the colors for the back of the device and the trim, according to ABC News. They will also be able to engrave a name or message to the back cover, as well as upload a photo to be used as the wallpaper on the screen, according to unnamed sources. Moto X will also run the latest version of the Android operating system, Jelly Bean, Android 4.2.2, if you're numerically inclined. Unsurprising, given that Motorola is a unit of Google, the report said that Verizon Wireless, among other carriers, is testing out the phone. The Verge reported that the Moto X will not be Verizon's next Droid flagship phone. Let's see. Earlier Wednesday, Motorola put up a sign-up page for the Moto X, although it offered little information aside from the tease that customers will be able to design their own phone. The page follows an advertisement in several major newspapers touting the fact that its phones will be assembled in the U.S. Motorola said it expects to have more than 2,000 new employees at a Fort Worth, Texas facility building the phones. The domestic location will enable the phones to arrive in customers' hands within days of their order, according to ABC. So we'll keep an eye on that one. That's interesting with the whole, U.S. manufacturing and the kind of customization. China or whatever. And then on bad news for an Android phone, how would you feel if you bought a flagship Android? Yeah? Hello?
Hey, Pete, you're cutting out. I think it's probably our internet. He's not there at all now. Was he talking about the NSA again? They like to
they like to put the hammer down on him.
Where's my delete button? I just updated my
Groovehouse came in and told us all about the new Android Gmail app.
There we go. I got a trash can now. That's awesome.
Ooh.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it's 1999 again.
Yes, my iPhone had a trash can on the Gmail app.
Yeah, and the last update, they had removed the trash can from the main screen there. So when you clicked on a message, instead of just being able to delete it, you'd have to go to menu, select delete, and then...
Well, you can archive it by swiping it, but, right. You know, the idea is you never really delete anything once Google has it.
Yeah, that's the... Right.
You know.
And very delete true. Just goes that's, to the check, we better look at this email list.
Why does he want to delete that?
And that's
that?
One thing I've never done with Gmail is use any of the archive functions. I've never archived any of my mail. It just stays in the inbox, and I delete what I don't need.
I just archive it so my inbox stays clean, but it's all searchable. So, right. And a lot of the new tabs on the web interface... Have you enabled that yet?
I don't know.
It takes if you have to actually enable it, but if you enable it, it gives you four tabs. You get your primary mailbox. You get one that's social.
No, I don't have that.
And then you get one that's all promotions and one that's updates. If you get like you know updated newsletters and so forth. So I don't know where you, the how you enable it, but it sorts all of your mail, which is great because I all my social media updates, if I get a Facebook notification or a Twitter follow or whatever, goes into its own folder. So it's very cool. I tell you, I'm getting nervous about having the I'm using the new two-step authentication on Gmail,
mm-hmm.
and it's a pain.
It can be a pain, but you can also set it to where... You only have to do it every 30 days or, you know, every so often.
Oh, they want you to redo it over and over again?
No. Once you authorize a device, once you authorize an application, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But so, like, if I clear my cookies or I set up a new computer and I want to go to Gmail, it asks me for an authorization code. So I have an application on my phone, which I had to authorize, that generates codes for me. So I can go in there and type in the code and whenever. And then there's also a section where if you're trying to use a different app that interfaces with Gmail or your Google account, you have to create a one-off password for it. So you have mm-hmm. to go to this website, mm-hmm. create the password. And Gmail or Google also offers where you can have 10 authentication codes that you print out, basically a little authentication card, you stick it in your wallet. So if you happen to be, you don't have access to your phone, you can't get text message, you can't run your app, you need to get into your mail, you have a code to get in. But if you don't have any of that.
Print the codes out. I've had to use those on more than one occasion.
Have
yeah.
you? I printed the codes out and I have those in a secret place you'll never find, in which I don't even remember where they are. So don't beat me up. But yeah, so it's I like having the additional security because so much is tied to your email anyway. But so once you get it all set up, it works pretty good. But there's just that fear now that I have. It's kind of like encrypting data. Like I'm going to lock myself out of all my data.
Yeah, the Apple does that too. It's optional. And so far I haven't run into much of it, except I had to change a password on something and had to go through all these steps additionally to change that password. So that was annoying, but it hasn't been too much of a pain yet. But it is more secure.
Yeah. Well, you know, considering that if you had my email account, you would be able to get it, you know, conceivably could get into my bank account, get into other accounts. So having your mail protected is a good idea.
Yeah, that's kind of the one hub account that everything else ties into. So I definitely think protecting that is the way to go.
Yeah.
And it gets I feel kind of like Secret Agent Man every time I've got to pull out and do the Google Authenticator thing. It's, you know, it is a burden. I mean, it seems like whenever I need to re-authenticate the phone somewhere else, or I've got to go, you know, go find it. But
well, then I wanted to put the authenticator on my iPad as well. So I put it on my iPad. Of course, it needed a one-time password to do that. And it doesn't, you can't use the code. So you have to go to the website, generate the password, and then type that in there. Ugh. Security is such a pain. I was actually kind of relieved to learn that the NSA had so much of our data because it really just kind of...
Just call them and ask for it. Yeah. If you get something, say, Of course, it is a pain, but getting hacked is more of a pain. So.
True enough. I've only had... I haven't been hacked, knock on wood, but I have had my credit card misappropriated, and it's not pleasant. All right, 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with Technology Bites, I'm not sure what's going on with Pete. We lost our connection to him, but the internet here has been pretty spotty, so that could explain it. So I don't we're going to go to the calls, go to the phones maybe, or did you have something force afflicted? You got Pete? Hey, Pete.
I think I'm back.
All right. Was it you or was it us?
I don't know. I reset the router, and I think Flicted went wired, so hopefully it's done.
I think it might have been our side because I was wireless, and when he went away, I flipped over to wired, and so hopefully that was the problem, but I don't know.
Because I could hear you guys say a couple words. You know, I heard Barrett say my name and something else, but then it would cut off, and I couldn't hear, you know, and you clearly couldn't hear my reply, so... It was getting, there wasn't any signal other than that something had gone wrong until it disconnected. But on your authentication thing and about protecting your email address, you know, I was out last week because of a death in the family. I would say that one of the things to make sure of is that somebody knows the information or knows enough information that if something happens to you that they can, if they can get to that email address, then they can, just like you said, they can get to everything else to keep things going. Cause I kind of had to do that in an unofficial way for a relative who passed suddenly. And, between several of us and her phone and some of that stuff, we were able to get into her email account and then start resetting passwords and taking care of things that way. I think it's an underexplored thing, partly because the people who are the most tech savvy are younger, and so they don't think about that happening. But I think it was brought home to me that there's some of those preparations or things that probably are things that should be made by more people than are doing it right now.
Yeah, it occurs to me that I'm the keeper of the keys to the digital kingdom. And actually, one of the things my wife has asked me to do is to create some documentation just around resetting the router, which remote to use for the TV, and how to, you know, just like a picture guide. Because if I go, she's back to reading books by candlelight.
We don't even want to read the manual, much less write manuals. That's like the worst. I mean, maybe aside from like really hard tech support, like technical writing is.
Oh, I love writing manuals.
Well, yeah, but you got the journalist seat.
I love it. I love doing that. In fact, at work, when they need like some documentation, I'll do it.
I don't mind doing it so much once I settle in and say, okay, I'm going to write and I'm going to do this and I'm going to put together this document. I do a great job. I think I do it really well, but I don't ever want to write out of the, I have to like somehow get started and then.
It's the inertia that you have to get.
Yeah. Once I have that, then I'm okay. Same way, like write a column every week. I was like, all right. And then I get going, and it's great. That's no problem. And I tweak it, and I edit it, and it's fine. All right, so I guess that's the news.
Yeah, I guess just to give you the quick ending of the news, we'll just jump to the end. That's the sad thing, and I think where it cut out, is the HTC One, which was a flagship phone 14 months ago, is apparently not going to get any more software updates from HTC.
Pete, that's the HTC One S.
Right? Without the whole article, sorry, I maybe over-summarized. But, yeah, that's pretty disappointing that something that's less than a year old is going to go that stale, especially since people, you know, up until recently, you could update XP. And then the last thing
especially
was
if you
on
have
new
a two-year
stuff.
Contract.
on the new stuff, Sharp has an Ultra HD IGZO panel. That's a 4K monitor. Of its own, you know, Asus has announced some with a 3840 by 2160 screen resolution, 32-inch multi-touch monitor, I think, and the cost is going to be over $3,500, or better put, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. And that's all the news. That's the rest of the news. I'm assuming you got the Engelbart thing and
we did.
Apple stuff.
All right. So the phone number again, 713-526-5738. I'm really disappointed and afflicted, though. I guess because he was busy, he didn't have an opportunity to jump in with his snarkiness about the first Friday when we were talking about the key gathering.
Y'all talked about that?
Yes.
Well, I didn't even hear that.
And I was coming up to the radio station tonight, I thought, well, we're going to have to mention the geek gathering, and that means Flicked will do that thing he does, and then that'll go for a while, and then we'll go to the news or something. But it didn't happen because...
You know, and it's annoying because everything I was working on was because I wasn't prepared, because I had planned to do something at the beginning of the show, but then I wasn't ready when the show started, and so I was trying to get everything ready. So I couldn't get it ready, so I didn't get that, and I didn't get things set up correctly, and so then Peter wasn't ready, and I wasn't wired, and it was all bad.
You know, considering how much centers on what you do to get the show, like, ready to go, I don't think the 4 minutes you allow yourself is quite enough.
Well, but I can't really just walk in here while the other show's going on.
No, but couldn't you have Pete dialed up? And I guess you can't really, because you have to plug that all in, or?
Well, yeah, I can't plug in the stuff.
But you can't have everything, like, prepped and just plug
in. Well, I could have had a little bit of that stuff prepped, but not.
But usually it's story time in the lobby up until. All right, so we got some calls in the queue, and we're not going to grill or roast Afflicted anymore for right now. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up first?
All right, up first on the show, we're going to speak with Dave.
Dave, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yeah, I've got a big problem here that's so simple I can't solve it.
Okay.
I've got an iPod Touch. I hit play and...
Thank you for not calling it an iTouch, by the way.
Say what?
Thanks for not calling it an iTouch.
Oh.
That's kind of a pet peeve of Dwight's. So I wanted to thank you for that right off the bat. So anyway, you got an iTouch.
Yeah, and I can't, it shuffles all the time, and I looked on YouTube and some Google videos, or not Google, some YouTube videos, and it tells me what to do, but the icons are not on mine. They stop the shuffle, to turn the shuffle off. Supposed to be a timeline there, you got a little repeat symbol, and you've got the little crosses like to hit shuffle. Mine doesn't have that.
One of the things that you might look in the settings for, you can set both the iPhone and the iPod Touch to do a thing called Shake to Shuffle.
Right, I've been there, and it's not Shake to Shuffle. That's turned off.
Uh-huh.
But there's no option in there to, well, when you have your playlist, there's a thing in there to hit Shuffle, and then it turns blue and it turns white, but the songs just keep shuffling no matter what I do.
Every day.
Every day
he's shuffling. I don't do the iTunes thing so much, so I don't know what to look for.
The things you've done are the things I would look for. Have you tried doing a restore on the software?
No, I shut it off and rebooted it again, but that didn't seem to do any good.
Yeah, if you plug it into to your computer and connect it to iTunes, there's a feature on the sync screen that allows you to restore it. It essentially puts a clean version of the operating system on it.
And it doesn't wipe out the music library?
No, it doesn't wipe out the music. You know, it'll have you do a backup first, restore, then it restores from the backup and pulls your music back on. Takes a little while. But if you have some problem with the software, that will often fix it.
Does the iPod Touch have apps and stuff like that on it?
Maybe. No, actually it doesn't.
So you probably wouldn't be out anything if you did that restore option.
No, I don't. All I use it for is to listen to music. It was supposed to replace my Palm, but it never did work right. I mean, it didn't do that.
The other thing, you know, if you don't do that, I mean, if you do that and it still isn't doing what you want it to do, you can make an appointment, take it into the Genius Bar at the Apple Store. They may be able to help you.
Yeah, it's not something I've run across before. I think Dwight's suggestion of doing the reset is your best option. That should get all your menus back to the way they should, you know, all the default settings on the iPod. back to the way they were when it was new. And has it always done this, or is it just the new thing that's come up?
Well, I loaded some music and, you know, took some music off, added some on, and then synced it to the computer, and that's when it happened.
Okay, but how long have you had it?
Oh, I've had it for, 3 years, and I just did this Sunday.
Okay, so for 3 years it worked basically okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it might be worth a shot, you know, to try this. It probably won't take much time at all, and see if that clears it up. And then if it doesn't, the only other option that we can suggest is to make an appointment at the Apple Store and let one of the geniuses take a look at it, because it might be a hands-on thing where somebody who's familiar with it can say, oh, here, you just missed this, or this is out of whack.
And then they can sell you the heck out of a brand new one that does everything you would want.
Well, I'm sure they could.
Well, I don't get that they'll try to do a hard sell on you. If you end up taking your device into the Apple Store, it's not a bad experience. I had a problem with my phone, and I took it in, and they fixed it and sent me on my way. I was in there for half an hour, and they didn't charge me a cent, and it was a great experience.
Start off trying to get them to work on the palm.
Loosen them up.
All right.
All righty. I'll try that and see what happens. I'll keep you posted.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye. All right.
All right. 713-526-5738. Groove House?
Yes.
Who's up next?
Up next, we are going to speak with Mark.
Mark, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, how's it going? I spoke to you guys a couple weeks ago. My MacBook was freaking out because the trackpad wouldn't work.
Right, the battery, yeah. I was just
right, so I bought a new MacBook Pro, and I also upgraded to UVerse DHL Digital instead of the analog. And I was going into my mail, and suddenly it popped up and asked me for the password, which it generally doesn't do, but I knew what the password is, so I put it in, and it wouldn't accept it. So then I said, maybe I don't know what it is, so I went to the keychain, and it was the correct password, but I started putting in all these other passwords that it could have been, and they didn't work. So I called AT&T, and I was on the phone with them for about 2.5 hours, and they finally said they cannot reset the password for this account. And this is my primary email where I get all my bills from, all my finance and everything else.
Okay, I think I can hopefully help you quickly.
Well, I did it, but I'll tell you how I did it. I changed the authentication in the advance to POP, and it said it doesn't accept POP. Then I changed the authentication to challenge, and it said it didn't accept challenge. Then I changed the port, and it said it timed out on the port. Then I put it back to the correct port, and I put in the correct password, and it accepted it. But every time a new email comes in, it rejects the password, and I have to do this process all over, which is totally bizarre.
Who provides your email, this main email account?
It's AT&T. It was set up like 17 years ago under Southwestern Bell.
Ouch.
Can you go to the web-based version of the software and log in?
You mean the email?
Yeah, the web-based version of the email.
Like a webmail?
No, because it's not a webmail.
If it's AT&T and Southwestern Bell, they have a web interface for it. You can ask them where
right,
it is.
Right, and like when you go in, you can go in and you can put in your name and you can put in your email,
right,
and it tells you how to reset it. When I do that, it says call them. And that's what it says. But if you look on the directions of how you reset the email, it says you put in your email, you put in your last name, and then you do this and do that. When I do that, it says call them. And the guys in India looking at this were saying, we did the same thing. It doesn't do this for anyone else.
Hmm. Is this tied to – do you have this tied to a domain, or is your email address, you know, something at AT&T.net? Or?
Right, it's something at sbcglobal.net.
What I would do is call them back, call the tech folks back, and see if you could force an escalation to a higher level of somebody other than your first-line technical support.
Well, I can do that, but it's bizarre. If I do the steps that I just told you.
Right, yeah, I got it. You go through, you try all the different
but
configurations.
The magic words you want to say are, I want to escalate this to a higher tier of service.
Because you said this is 17 years old, you've had this account?
Right. It was, when, you know, Southwest, it was a dial-up account when I set it up.
Right. Right. So you, what you probably want is to escalate this to somebody who can get your, who can modernize your account and not be sitting on some legacy piece of hardware that's gonna crap out on you. The other choice, the other suggestion might be, you know, I know you've got, I'm sure lots of people going to whatever at sbcglobal.net.
Right, it's all my finance and my bills and stuff like that. That's why it was really freaking me out. I was calling them all, telling them, you know, because I'm going to miss payments and stuff. You know what I mean?
Is this a paid email account, or have you always had it for free since you?
It's for free, but I have a website, and you know, I can establish my own email account through that, and of course, I have to pay for it. But I may do that.
I would say
over.
Getting it to your, if you're depending on it for that long, depending on it from some other company that can do whatever, because they could always say, yeah, we're done with SBC Global, so now that address doesn't work.
Right.
I would say getting it onto something of your own. You can get it where they'll do it with your domain name through Google.
Right,
or,
I have a domain
Rackspace
name
or a lot of other
already.
Providers where you can pay for it and get a good email account that you still own.
Right.
And that has your own domain so that you have control over it.
Right. So that's what you recommend. That's what I was thinking I was going to do anyway.
You may be able to get, you know, in the nearer term, if you can get somebody there to man up and fix it, then you don't have so much pressure on your changeover, so
right.
It'll be on your own time. You know, you can take your time changing over the addresses and all that stuff.
Right.
And they should do that for you because it did come with, you know, it came with your paid account.
Right.
Well,
the guy who did that probably retired. You know, the guy who knows how that mail system works probably retired.
Right, and they gave me a new account, and I didn't even know I had a new account with AT&T. So when I call them, they give me this account, and I say that's not my account.
Right. Well, that's one of the things that happens, unfortunately, with any tech company. You have these legacy situations, and the older if you did not somehow get brought into the modern age of whatever they're doing with email, you've got your mail on a legacy server using a legacy solution that nobody has any visibility to or familiarity with. So the idea is that you say, look, I've been with the AT&T for 17 years. I know I've got an unusual situation. I need to escalate this to a higher level tech to help me resolve this issue because I cannot get to my email. And just basically explain to the person that you've been on the phone and you've gone through this, and they will, and somebody, they'll find somebody, and that person will go, oh yeah, Mark here is one of those legacy guys. He's on the blah, blah, blah server. I'll take care of it. Or this is what you need to do. And that's the only way you can approach it. Now, in the short term, you could try a different mail program. It might be that, you know, some other mail client would work for you.
Well, I think I'm going to do what Pete said. I mean, I have my own domain, my own website. So I'm just going to create the email under that and transfer everything over. But like he also said, you know, I need to like, get all my people that my bills, my finances, yeah. And I need to log them in and get them on that new account.
Yeah, it's a pain, but you know, it might be worth it.
I think I'm going to do that because this was crazy. I was like, they told me, the guy in India was practically crying. He goes, I cannot.
My family is dishonored.
Anyway, I'll let you go.
All right, thanks for your call. Well, at least he was, you know, not saying, if only my family in Alabama could see me. God, you know, I've speaking of tech support, I've been dealing with Comcast a lot lately.
Over just slow speeds or spotty reception? Or
no, for a while my internet was bad, and now my internet's great. Now my internet's fantastic, but I'm having some on and off connectivity issues with this X1, and it's just, it's maddening because when it decides it doesn't want to work, it just doesn't.
Is it version 1.0?
Is it all your internet or just the X1 functionality?
Just the X1 functionality, because the internet continues to fly and works great.
Yeah, it's probably growing pains from being an early version.
But the thing that I was reading about X1 is, I mean, it's been around since like 2011. in some markets. It's been around for a couple of years. It's not that new, but yes, I mean, it signals something. My fear is that it's the way they've got the signal split coming into the TV, and like it'll work flawlessly for a lot. Like tonight, it was working great. Today, it was working great. Yes, last night it was working great. Night before, not so great.
I had problems years ago with Comcast and analog Comcast and cable, and a tech told me that when they, and this again was in the earliest days of cable internet, that there's essentially a balance between the cable signal and the television signal on the line, and they can overtune it for internet, and it can mess up television. And so, you know, if your internet is flying and it's perfect, but you're occasionally having issues with television, particularly if it's digital television, that might be, you might try to get them to kind of look at the ratio between the two.
Were they able to do that in the home office, or did they have to come to your location?
It was a matter of power and adjusting the power levels. I'm going back like years, but it was a matter of they essentially have a series of transformers along the line that boost the power to a certain point, and they could boost it too much or too little, boost some frequencies and not other frequencies.
I bet they can do it remotely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I mean, it was having all kinds of problems, and I worked with the woman on the phone for a long time. The cool thing about the X1 support, that's why I was mentioning it, is X1 support is in the United States, and it's a select group of people that do it. I mean, they haven't got them all up to speed on everything. But
yeah, when UVerse started, it was like that, and it's not like that anymore.
No, I'm sure it won't stay that way. All right, Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up next by the length of the holdings?
All right, by the length of the holdings, the next person up is Edward.
Edward, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys. Hi. Thanks for calling, taking my call. I didn't call about Comcast, but I work a lot through email, and two folks who have Comcast email very regularly my email to them will take a good 24 hours sometimes to get to them, so I don't know what's up with them. But anyways, why I called is because I have a 2002 computer, Dell Optiplex, that my work gave me because they upgraded computers. But I don't have the Windows CD. There are tons of programs on this, and I've been one by one deleting them from ad remove programs on Windows 98. But still, I don't know.
Windows 98, did you say?
Yeah, Windows 98.
You got it?
No, XP, XP.
Okay,
I don't know what I'm saying. Windows XP.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew it was old. I was wondering if there's anything I could use, like a program out there to kind of like clean up the computer. You know, I don't have the Windows CD, so the closest thing to reinstalling Windows that I can come up with.
You may have an option, though. You said that was a Dell Optiplex?
Yes.
If you look around, the disks for that stuff is all over the place.
Well, actually, I was going to say there might even be another option, and the Dell Optiplex series had a recovery partition.
Oh, okay.
So if you open up my computer on this thing and look and see, you might find that you have a separate partition that has all the recovery software, which is basically the software load that the computer had when it was new. Now, because it's a corporate PC, you may not have that, but a lot of the Dells that we get at my office have a recovery partition, and it will work. We wipe that, we blow it away when we image the computer, though. So, and what Pete was mentioning is that, you know, if you don't have that recovery partition, you still might have an option to get a recovery disk from the internet or get one from Dell, even if you contact them.
I think Dell did them pretty broadly. They didn't want to have a bunch of different
disks. Well, next. Kind of true and kind of not true, because unfortunately with especially the XP era Dells, is what they would do is they would have this, they would have the operating system disk, and then they'd have what's called a resource CD.
I'm familiar with that.
And the resource CD is what had all the drivers that were specific to a certain line of computers. If you didn't have the right resource CD, then you were forced to go to Dell.com and download drivers. But if you didn't have network drivers, then you were kind of out of luck. So you had to go to a computer that had internet access, get the network drivers. But you've kind of hit upon one of my pet peeves, which is, you know, buying a computer or getting a computer or relying on a computer that came secondhand, especially from a business. You're not in a great position if you don't have the recovery disks or an install disk to be able to reinstall your software.
So, right now
it works basically, but you'd be in a real scramble if anything happened to the drive or you lost your data.
Or you may just want to blow it away and go Linux. honestly. You can surf the net and get email and do the main things you want to do.
Well, but in terms of cleaning up what you have, I don't believe in any of the cleaners. There's a couple of registry cleaners, but they don't really do what they advertise. Your best bet's to be able to reinstall the OS nice and clean.
What if I took Windows XP CD that didn't necessarily go to this computer, because I happen to have an old Dell that I already got rid of, the same era. But like you said, I guess if I don't have the resource.
If you have the CD that came with your old Dell, it will probably, at the very least, install Windows on it.
And that product key should work, you know, for me to, you know.
The Dell OEM CD is tied to the fact that it's Dell hardware, so it should probably just look and see that it's Dell hardware and let you install it and use that product key. I've had really good luck with, now you can't use a Dell OEM CD or DVD on another brand computer. It will somehow detect that it's an HP or whatever, install. But if it's a Dell, and one thing you could try if you're worried about, you know, accidentally wiping it out and finding out you can't activate this, you could just go get another hard drive.
I see.
Get that CD that you have and install it onto that drive and see if you can get it going.
Okay.
So that might be worthwhile. Use the money you saved and buy a bigger hard drive or something.
Yeah. Okay. Well, those are a couple ideas I can work with.
All right. Well, good luck to you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great 4th of July.
All right. You too. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
713-526-5738 as we approach the top of the hour. We've got time probably to get another call or so, and we have two calls in the queue, but we have room for more if you want to line up for the second hour of Technology Bites at 713-526-573. I'm really glad everybody's here tonight, by the way, Dwight and Pete and everybody. I'm not criticizing or complaining that you weren't here because only in the sense that it was – just it's rough radio sometimes.
Yeah, there were two of us gone last week, right?
Yeah, and Pete were both gone. Mm-hmm. So it was me and the Talks-A-Lot crew.
But I thought the Talks-A-Lot crew were the brains of the operation.
That's right, we're the brains, we're not the voice.
Well, if you had something that would pick up mental vibrations, then you would have had a great show. But, you know,
if I had been here last week, it would have been like I wasn't here.
No, granted, we're grateful you stayed away in that regard.
Yes, it would have been, because I would have mostly been going, because I was white.
A zombie?
I was a zombie.
Did you hear the hefty dose of scorn that was heaped upon you?
I figured it was happening. It was totally predictable. So
it's totally predictable. All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who's up next?
All right, up next, before the break, and if you're on hold, hang in there because we'll be back. We're going to speak with Mike.
Mike, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
How you doing?
Oh, we're doing okay.
All right. I am poking around in the control panel and am going through a circular motion of troubleshooting, which brings me back to square one, which is nothing. I've got Audacity sitting up here and trying to record, and it won't record because apparently there's a device that needs to be installed. So I went to the control panel and went to sound. And, well, you know, as far as looking at sound, I've got speakers for playback. Recording, there's nothing. Sounds, there's a bunch of stuff that comes up.
All right, let's stop you right there and try to nail this down a little bit. So you got a computer.
Windows 7.
And you've got speakers, so you have audio playback. Is it a desktop or a laptop? Laptops. Most laptops have microphones. The newer ones. It's a Windows 7, so it might have a built-in. Might have a built-in microphone. It's a good chance that it has a built-in microphone. Have you?
Actually, I think it does. And when I was poking around here a few months ago, trying to do the same thing. Inadvertently, I think I removed it. And so I gave up and, shied away and said, well, this is not for me. I'm just a walking disaster area.
Well, what do you want to record?
Well, I would like to say, if I'm listening to you guys on the internet, maybe record you for, or whatever.
Well, we provide,
Yes, you recording. Have an archive.
Right, but if you wanted to record it live, then you don't need a microphone for that, obviously. You can, you can use, there's software that will allow you to capture a live stream.
Called Stream Rippers, usually.
Is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you Google for Stream Ripper, you'll find something that'll go save it. And
if you,
like
you Google search record internet radio, you'll find little apps that will do that. Basically, what happens is you launch this app, and then you launch the stream that you want to record, and it'll record it right to your hard drive.
Okay. So I don't need anything else. I know there's a sound card in here, and I know there's a microphone. And
well, see, if you want to record you talking to the computer, like some people will set up and they'll record videos. They'll use the camera on the laptop and the microphone, and they'll record a video of them talking about whatever.
Yeah.
So you can use Audacity won't do that. Audacity will just record audio.
Yeah, that's all I'm, pretty much the only thing I'm interested in is recording live radio.
Okay, so find an app and you can do that.
So that's all I need. I don't have to worry about the sound card that's on there that doesn't show up or the microphone.
Well, if you've got some missing hardware, you may need to consider reinstalling drivers for those devices.
I think all he did was he just disabled his microphone. If you go to Google and Google for how to enable microphone on Windows 7, it'll show you how to turn it back on. It's pretty simple. But that's what you did. You disabled it where it just doesn't show up anymore.
Yeah, so I pretty much panicked, and I don't care about the microphone. I just figure... So you guys are pointing me in the right direction. Just go to look up Stream Ripper.
That's Google search. Just Google search record internet radio. You'll find tons of information on it.
Okay.
Because a lot of people do that. Okay?
Sure.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Well, we got to go take a short break. We'll be right back after these messages. These messages that are coming right up. I like this tune, by the way. This is fun. All right. Well, you're listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
We'll be right back.
We had no quarrel with anyone. We only want to stop riding the buses until we are treated as any other passenger.
Tune in on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. for the best of our past, present, and future from the vault. From the Vault is a weekly hour from the Pacifica Radio Archives, a national treasure of interviews, performances, and important moments. In this weekly documentary series, From the Vault presents archival audio to bring history to life.
It sounds like Harvey Milk is trying to send a message out to other gay or non-gay people who want to run for public office.
Get involved. Build your base. Build your support. You can't just get out there and say, hey, I'm a nice guy and I'm going to vote right on all the issues.
From the Vault airs Wednesday at 6 p.m. You can hear a repeat overnight Saturday following the program after hours. This is 90.1 Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Many of you have been longtime listeners and supporters of KPFT. This station asks you to consider establishing a bequest in your will that benefits KPFT. Supporting KPFT with a legacy gift is an easy decision to make. The future growth and excellence of our station depends on our ability to also build a permanent base of support through an active and successful legacy gift program. The next time you meet with your advisors to review your estate or long-term financial plans, please remember you can include KPFT. Ensure your commitment to public broadcasting continues on. With the help of your attorney, a bequest is simple to put in place. If you need help or have questions, call our development director at 713-526-4000. Again, that's 713-526-4000. Please join listeners like you in helping to ensure that the independent voice of KPFT will be preserved for generations to come. Name KPFT as a beneficiary in your will today. This is KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Hey, Barrett, what's happening?
I don't know.
Well, room around town.
We interrupt this skit to bring you
Baritone! Baritone! Baritone!
Yeah. That means it's time for
Baritone!
Yeah. Anyway, take it away, Barrett.
All right. I'm a little envious of everyone that has Friday off in addition to Thursday. I'll be knee-deep in finishing off a broker commissioning system, while those lucky enough not to be in retail or IT will be doing whatever it is people do when they aren't working. I've forgotten what that is. We've actually been telling employees that if they don't come in Friday, that they shouldn't bother coming in Monday either.
Woohoo, four-day weekend!
Yeah, actually, nope, your math's off, to which Homer Simpson replied, woohoo, five-day weekend! Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
If you don't come in Friday...
But yeah, but now we're saying right. Maybe you get Thursday off.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But nice on the pickup of the of where that line came from. That's awesome. So if you find yourself somewhere in the hinterlands of having a little and a lot of free time and need to get a project off the ground fast, say in time for the Geek Gathering this Friday, you can turn to a number of projects that don't require the melting of metal. Many of them don't even involve coding. It being the 4th of July weekend, I'll be bringing out something that can give off some light, a 32 by 32 RGB LED panel that can take direction from Android devices over a Bluetooth link. So while this is the guts-only version of the Pixel project, it's an example of a turnkey solution that lets you start playing with something that actually does something without having to solder, troubleshoot, code, and debug. So there are those that would say that that process that I just described is the fun part, but it's also nice to have the option of backing your way into the maker movement rather than having to start from zero. Now, can you imagine if people had to build their own personal computers like they did in the 60s and 70s? Before calling in, we'd never actually make it to spyware calls. We'd be stuck helping people swap out batteries in their multimeters and making sure that their soldering irons were set at the correct temperature. So the show's been around for a while, but not exactly since the 60s, though many of our hosts have been around since the 60s, I think. Most of our hosts since the 60s were more windsock than vacuum tube in origin. So that doesn't mean we haven't been around the block, though, some 18 times if we substitute block for a year. So as Dwight said, we're old enough now to go to war and to vote and to join a hackerspace without parental consent. So even if you don't want to join up, Houston's own hackerspace TXRX Labs is happy to help outfit you with the knowledge necessary to wage war on sheets of acrylic and balsa wood, build a better voting machine, or any other number of activities involved in designing and fabricating your own creations. Cutting with lasers, cutting with plasma, and an intro to casting round out classes in drawing, painting, color theory, 3D printing, and of course Arduino. Classes start July 8th and will be held at their all-new air-conditioned hackerspace at 205 Robert Street on the east side of downtown. You can hit www.txrxlabs.org. for more information. So back to the show's increasing age. You're all invited to join us at Cone's Coffee, Beer, Wine, Art, Arduino's Pies, Pads, and the occasional platter of free food for Dwight and Darts, that's the new name of it, for our 18th birthday party. Until they get the signage up, though, we'll just refer to it as Cone's. Cone's is located at 2808 Milam at Drew and offers beer, wine, art, the occasional platter of free food for Dwight, and darts. It's up to the geeks to bring Arduinos, Raspberry Pis, blinking lights, and portable pewters. And your presence. Things get started a little after 7. A food truck is on hand a little after 8. And the first deserters won't start to break rank until a little after 9. Actually, since some of us won't have to be at work first thing the next morning, we could go a little bit later than usual. Either way, we hope to see you out this Friday to help us celebrate 18 years of RTFMing. But for now, that's it for the first half of our last legally juvenile broadcast. And that's that for Barrett time.
I like that. Our last legally juvenile webcast. I think we're always a little.
Well, we don't have to. I mean, this is just the last time we can say, hey, you can't prosecute.
So if the Geek Gathering isn't quite enough for your geeky fun, on Monday, about 5:30 at the Flying Saucer, there will be a meetup of people who are attending the Microsoft Partner Conference, which will be in town next week. This starts Sunday night, and it's a pretty big deal. Steve Ballmer will be speaking Monday morning. It's essentially Microsoft's meeting with a lot of the partners who resell their goods and put their software on hardware. And this is a meetup of both some of the attendees as well as some of the tech journalists who will be in town to cover it. So Mary Jo Foley from ZDNet will be there. James Kendrick will be there. I think Peter Bright, Dr. Pizza from Ars Technica will be there, and there'll be several others. And I'll be there probably a little bit after 6. So it's the Flying Saucer. Anybody can come, and we should have a good time.
So it's 705 Main Street downtown.
Right. Oh, you know the address by heart.
I used to live there. Yeah.
Oh,
I lived above the Flying Saucer for a few years.
If you go to the Flying Saucer, have you been to the Flying Saucer?
Yes, uh-huh.
Look up on the wall. You know all the plates, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
5 of them are his.
Oh.
Look for the one that's FSCK.
Yeah, there's a Linux reference up there.
All right.
You have to know what you're looking for, but there's five of them, right?
Yeah, five. I stopped at 5, I figured.
And, what is it, 200 beers per plate?
Yes.
So, wow. We'll say Michael Fellers, on the other hand.
Yeah, he did not stop, and health suffers. So,
is it represent 1,000? That's different beers, or no, is it 200?
It's 200 different beers per go, and then they rate limit you to like 3 beers per day. So you can have, it takes more than, you know.
I know, it takes a while.
200, but yeah.
But 2 plates could each have the same beer represented.
There's going to be some overlap, but there's a lot of seasonal stuff. And over, you know, doing it over a year or two, you know, 1,000 beers a year or so, a couple of years, you know, there'll be some seasonal stuff.
There's some memory stuff up there. All right, so yeah, if you go to... if you go check that out, you know, is Ballmer going to be at the?
Is Ballmer coming out
to the meetup?
Yeah.
Oh. So,
I don't think so.
He's sitting a shirt with sweaty pits, but that's pretty much all we're getting out of him. All right, 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with Technology Bites here in the second hour of our show, we've got 2 calls in the queue. We have plenty of open lines. Groovehouse is enthusiastic and eager to take your call.
Yes.
Get you ready to be on the air tonight with us. So don't be afraid to dial 713-526-KPFT. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up next?
Up next on the second half of the show, we are going to speak with Maria.
Maria, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
When I started, amigos, Technology Bites, amigos, my question is this. What is a better way to make a website for free? It doesn't cost very much money.
Well, what kind of website are you wanting to have?
Well, it will be for website, general information, for a nonprofit organization. I mean,
okay, well, what are the options that you have? There's a very good free blogging site called WordPress. If you go to WordPress.com, you can sign up for an account there, and it allows you to host a blog on their site, which you could run as a website. It's free, and it's pretty easy to use, so it's definitely in your price range.
And you could, I think on the free ones, you can still tie a vanity domain to your blog.
If you wanted to have a specific domain name where it was the name of the organization.com, you could set that up. You could also go through the domain registers. Now, once you start registering domains and doing those kind of hostings, then you're going to start paying some money to do that.
Yeah, you could do that for, you know, under 20 bucks a year if you wanted to on the domain name.
Really?
Yeah.
To register
the register domain, it and to keep it, yeah.
What about hosting?
No, you could register the domain, and you can also, like, I like Gandhi is one of them, and you could do, you can host the DNS at their site. You point it over to the WordPress domain servers, you point to the WordPress domain, and it just shows up over there.
But for simplicity's sake and ease of use...
Start out with just the plain one, I think.
Just because if you go to WordPress.com, you can create a unique name that the address would be something.wordpress.com. So you could have, if it was available, for example, you could have maria.wordpress.com would be your web address.
Okay.
So if you go to wordpress.com, they have information on signing up. It does, like, again, it doesn't cost anything. It will show you, give you some hints about how to post an update to the website, how to add images to the website, and that sort of thing.
That sounds great, Emil. Yes, I really enjoy your show.
Thank you. Gracias. All right. Off we go.
All right. Good night.
713-526-5738. Groovehouse has just been taken to another place.
Yes.
Are you back?
A magic back. Place. Mm-hmm.
We're good. I'm back. I was on the phone. Mm-hmm. Dwight, I was on the phone. You can't see me, but
that's
I was on. Yeah.
You can't see me, Rabbit. You were on the phone.
Yes.
So Groovehouse has the longest weekend of all.
It started about
a couple of weeks.
The end of summer.
Wow.
No, you
he's been working.
You're a juice girl.
Oh, poor Groovehouse.
It's better than being a saucer boy.
That's true.
Somehow we got back to you, didn't we?
I don't know how that happened. I
mean, he was laying low, being all good.
Just taking calls, trying to do my job.
What job?
Just don't get the two confused.
All right, well, here's a dollar. Who's the next call?
Are you going to 1099 that?
I probably should.
Next up on the stage.
All right, we ready for another call?
Yeah, we are.
All right, let's do this. All right, up next, we are going to speak with John.
John, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Ahoy, mateys. How are y'all?
We're doing very well. I've asked you, Lever.
I had a whole bunch of questions, but I forgot and started drinking martinis, so I'm going to try and just stick it to one. Poor little laptop is sick. What I've got is
I want to go back to the martini discussion myself. You say drinking martinis. Like, I don't see martinis like... I could see preparing yourself a martini.
Well, yeah, and it was quite a good one, too.
But, you know, like having... The longer you drink martinis, the less... If you're making them yourself, it would seem the less martini-like they become.
Right, because after a while, it's more like...
I guess you could shake up all...
Well, they used to make them in pitchers.
Yep.
So, you know, it used to just for... If you want to stick to the old-school way and you've only got yourself, you've
got to... thought this out. Okay, so a pitcher of... Okay, now that I can give... Okay, anyway, go ahead. So you got a laptop that's sick.
Right. My laptop is a Acer Ferrari 1. And it's a cute little laptop. I really like it a lot.
That's a great computer.
It is. It's got some sticky keys. And I'd kind of like to replace the hard drive with maybe like a flash drive. Is there someplace in town that you guys would feel safe sending somebody to do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, there's a place that specializes in laptop upgrades and repairs. It's called the Computer Hospital, and we get no money from them. And it's the only reason I recommend them on the air is because I've done business with them, and they're one of the few places that will actually work on a laptop.
They may only work on Porsches.
That's my, anyway.
It's okay, they'll work on your laptop.
Yeah, but they have two locations in Houston. One's downtown, and the other one, I don't know where it is, might be in north side of Houston. But they're great people, and they're enthusiastic about what they do. They're not the cheapest place in town, but they do good work, and I trust them.
Yeah, and you know, I don't mind shelling out some bucks for somebody that's going to get the job done. You know, I mean, I'm to the point now where, you know,
well, it's one of those. It's one of those. You know, it's privately held. It's a small group of people that run the place. So you get a. I haven't had to do anything in a long time, but my recollection was that it's very personal. They take into consideration what it is you're trying to do. One of the problems I have with going to like a box store, like a Best Buy or a Circuit City, or they don't have Circuit Cities anymore. But anyway, those big box stores is that. Unless you're very clear on what you want to do, they tend to do this kind of standard thing. So you say, I need a new hard drive. They don't ask you about backing up your data, or they won't ask you about anything. They'll just, boom, all your data's gone. Or they'll say, we'll back it up and we'll charge you this extra money, but you should have asked for that before we deleted everything.
Yeah, I'm running into that right now. I'm trying to back the thing up, and I've got these Outlook PST files that are over a gigabyte and until I reduce those things.
I don't know how hard this thing is to work on. I'm just looking. I have not heard of
that. I've got an Acer Aspire 1, and it looks kind of like the same form factor, and swapped out. I added more RAM on mine, which, you know, you're not really supposed to do, and it's all pretty accessible through the back panel. I bet they can do it. Hard drive might be a little bit tougher to get to, but if they can repair notebooks, there might be a thing where you've got to lift up the keyboard to get to the hard drive, but I bet they can do it.
Yeah, that's just it. I need to have the key. You know, you can't type in a password.
Yeah.
I mean, that's annoying. Most of the time I use it with an external keyboard, you know, because I've got a 24-inch monitor and stuff like that, but it's super portable. It's just pretty snappy. I process CAT scanner data with it, and it's a nice little machine.
So are you a secret agent? You're drinking martinis and you've got a Ferrari laptop?
No, I am not a secret agent. I'm a burnout old hippie.
Oh, all right. Well,
I just did good in the lottery.
Well, that's who I would recommend. You know, I would be careful to say, you know, how old is this thing? This computer itself looks like it's...
Year and a half?
Yeah. Okay, so it's probably worth getting fixed.
Yeah, you know.
If nothing else, just to save the logo.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for your call.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, the Ferrari logo, not to be confused with the Brony logo.
Oh, you just ruined the Ferrari logo for me.
That's the Brody 500. All right. Oh, I'm glad I could do that for you. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. I have a question, Dwight Main. I wonder if this... You have an iPod player in your car? No, you don't. Who has an iPod player? You have an iPod player, but yours is Bluetooth.
I can plug it in also, USB.
I have a USB in my car that connects. I can plug my iPhone into and it will
plug
let me,
it into it, right.
Well, it feeds up through the car. It's, mm-hmm. You know, and my radio will be an iPod controller.
Right.
But I'm getting... I never really tried it with my previous phone, which wasn't an iPod or an iPhone. But now that I have the iPhone 5, it'll play. Everything will be going great guns for a while, and then all of a sudden I get... unsupported device on the screen of my console on the car.
There is some, when they released iOS 6, there's some incompatibility with some automotive systems with iOS 6. There were some features that worked with the old iPod that are no longer available on the phone when you plug it in.
How old is your car?
2012.
Have you tried turning the car off and then back on again?
you might see if there is a flash update for
the
ROM on the car. You can download it to a flash drive, plug it in, and install it. I've actually done that on my car once already.
Where did you get it from?
From the car manufacturer website.
Like, is this for your Kia?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, it runs Microsoft Yuvo.
Right,
which
it's
is
a Windows
not
interface.
That good, but
right.
It is generally functional. But one of the things that I noticed that got better was that before, when I was playing stuff over Bluetooth, it tells you, "Oh, I'm going to show you the name of the song and the artist and stuff," and it would do that when I first started playing. But when it went to the second song, third song, fourth song, it only ever showed that first thing it got. And after I updated it fixed that. So now it actually does show when the songs change, what the new song is.
I know that when you plug in Lisa's Prius, does this. There are certain features that it apparently expects to see in the touchscreen interface on her Prius when you plug in an iPhone 5 that don't work. Like there is Play More Like This, which is essentially talks to the Genius part of it. That doesn't work. And there are other aspects of it that just don't. So I think that may be what you're running into is that incompatibility.
I would check for
see
update.
If there's an update.
Yeah, the only thing I'm finding in updates for the car is an update to the navigation system, which is what it's tied into, but it seems to be only for the maps. Nothing that mentions whether or not they address...
Whereas the software itself gets...
Right. And we have to go to the dealer. Because now that I've just, you know, started to try to use it, it's great. I mean, I could do Pandora, it'll show me the Pandora playlist even. It will show that on the screen.
Are you doing, does it do Bluetooth?
No, unfortunately it doesn't do Bluetooth. It's not quite new enough. It's this year's models and some of last year's other makes, like the CRV, I think, had Bluetooth, but no.
I get annoyed plugging mine into my car because sometimes I want to because it'll charge
right, it charges right?
Which is really nice. But every time I plug it in, my car wants to read the hard drive or read the memory of what I use my phone. I have an iPhone, right? And so it wants to read it, and every time it wants to read it. And so it takes it 3 or 4 minutes from when I plug it in while it's reading. And the thing is, I don't even have that many songs on it because almost everything I play over the air.
Well, I don't have hardly anything on mine, so I don't know if mine would have that problem or not. But
are there settings on that phone? I mean, in the Kia software that control that? Can you go and dive into settings?
I don't remember seeing that. I can look for it. I don't remember seeing anything that says to not, because that's how it figures out what it's going
to
play.
Or it says to store it. It may say store your. What you may have is.
But then it has a limited amount of memory to store. Because I think it'll store like the song, the whole songs.
Oh, really?
But then every time I connect it, it still wants to go back and see what's on the phone.
It's probably loading the index of the songs. It's probably not loading.
But
the
it
songs.
Takes it like 3 or 4 minutes. Yeah. It's a long time.
Have you tried asking a hamster?
No.
Are you trying to play hip hop on it?
I played Diantvoord every once in a while, which is sort of hip hop.
All right. 713-526-5738. We've got one call in the queue, and all the lines are open. I'm going to have to go talk to my dealer because maybe they have something. Maybe they know
go
something.
See the man.
I think you should drive your car to the Genius Bar. Make Apple answer.
Or replace it with an 8-track player. All right, Groovehouse?
Yes?
Who's up next?
Up next, we're going to speak with Nick.
Nick, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi guys, great show.
Thank you.
I always listen to you guys. I got a question today. I normally don't call. I'm a frequent listener, but a very rare caller.
Okay.
I took a picture from my camera, and I didn't copy it over to my computer, but I transferred it over. You know how you do cut and paste? So I did that instead of saving it on the camera. And then for some reason I had to transfer it back to my, transferred over to my computer, I transferred over to my smartphone. And again, I did the same mistake by doing cut and paste instead of copy paste. So obviously I kept losing the original picture. My phone died, but I was able to retrieve the pictures. When I put them back on the computer, I'm losing pixels. It's not the original, you know, it's not giving me the original pictures anymore. It's very small in size, and I'm trying to revive that. So
you took the picture with your camera, and you cut and pasted it onto the computer, so it deleted it from the camera.
Exactly.
So that file there should be have been the original high res. If you cut and paste, even it should have been the same resolution that was on the camera.
Exactly.
But when you cut and pasted it onto the phone, I'm wondering if
on the phone it was fine until the phone had issues. So
right, but I'm wondering if the phone made a second copy, if it made like a low res and a high res copy when you did it. I'm not familiar with transferring.
It's a Samsung Galaxy 4.
Right, but so. what I don't know is, see, I've never dragged, you know, a file using the drag and drop or anything like that onto a phone. I'll just email it to my Gmail account and then I'll get it that way. Or
are these pictures that were taken on the phone?
No, they were taken on a camera.
Originally they were taken on the camera.
I'm sorry. Let me catch Dwight up because
he said they were taken on the phone, moved back, and then moved back to the phone.
No, he said it was taken on a camera.
Yeah, they were taken by camera, transferred over to a computer, then transferred over to a phone, and then back to a computer.
Yeah.
I suspect that somewhere along the way, it got crunched bad. And you may have even lost the original.
What I was looking for is, like, is there some kind of a software that I could use where, I don't know, I could enlarge the pictures?
If you go back to the camera,
mm-hmm.
have you taken pictures on the camera since then?
Yeah.
Very many?
Quite a few.
Okay. So I was going to say there might be a slight hope of finding it, using a recovery software on the SD card or the CF card, whatever the camera uses.
Because I tried that, the last resort that I actually got help from another computer guy, they said that you might have to find a software where you can probably use the same pictures that I transferred back to the computer, but I can use some kind of a software that can enlarge the pictures.
There's no way to enlarge the picture. I mean, if the resolution is gone, all you're going to end up with a large, low res image. You cannot regain resolution.
There actually is a piece of software that somebody made for like investigative purposes.
The Embiggenator?
That will extrapolate.
Enhance.
Zoom and enhance. It actually kind of does that, but it's not the same picture, and it only works.
Now, when you copied the image onto the phone, was it onto an SD card?
No, it was on the phone memory, unfortunately. So, that's why when my phone died, I pretty much had a lot of issues reviving it back, so I could.
If your phone died, how did you get the file off the phone?
Fortunately, it saved a lot of my contacts, despite the fact that it was on the phone memory instead of the card memory.
But how'd you get that image back off?
Good question. I actually called my carrier, and they actually helped me. They have some commands that you have to press the volume button up and down and press the power button a few times. And kind of like gets you into the phone.
Okay. So, I'm just wondering, because what I'm wondering is if when you dragged that image onto the phone and dropped it on the phone, if it created a low res copy in addition to the high res version, and you just grabbed the low res version, and the high res is still on there somewhere in another folder.
I tried to look for that in different folders of the phone. But didn't find much luck.
How much memory does this phone have?
Oh, the phone memory itself is about close to 16 gigs.
Do you have an SD card in the phone?
Yeah, that's separate. That's a 32 gig card.
What if you try taking the? Do you have an SD? Is the same type of SD card in the camera?
No, because the one on the phone is a tiny one.
Yeah, that's right. It's the micro SD.
Right. But the one for the camera is bigger.
Right. It's a full size. Right. Can you get a micro SD reader? I think you can.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I'm sure they're out there. Yeah, I can get that.
But he has to go the other way. He's got to go. Can you retake the picture? Go back to where you were originally.
Just break the NSA.
Yeah, the NSA has it, I'm sure.
Freedom of information request.
I'm going to have to find a good photographer again, I guess.
No, it's unfortunate. You know, I mean, yeah. Cut and paste was definitely...
I know, it was a mistake. And what's funny, I kept on doing it over and over. I'm like, what did I do? Why did I do copy?
All right, well, good luck. I don't know what else to tell you.
No problem. Right. Appreciate it.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Good show.
Thanks. All right, well, that's all the calls we had in the queue, and we've got 30 minutes left in the show. So if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites and you meet the criteria for being on the show, dial 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. So go ahead.
Did anybody see, since we use Skype to do the show, I don't know if anybody saw in the news, there was a thing, I didn't catch it soon enough to put it in the news, but apparently one of the people testifying in the George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin trial was calling in by Skype, and since it was on live TV, in the middle of the call, a bunch of people started Skype calling the witness. They think it was a prank that somebody was doing it so that their usernames would pop up on the screen. And of course, since it was on live TV, that you know, you, it brings out the, I guess the Baba Booey crowd comes out. But kind of amusing with using new tech in the courts and then having the usual thing happen.
I did see the 3D gun printing guy out of Austin. Someone took, what's the name of his gun? The Liberator? Or something like that? Someone took and made a 3D gun, printed out of plastic, took it into the Israeli parliament building, got it within a stone's throw of Benjamin Netanyahu, and then reported about it. This is a journalist that, I mean, really, if someone had seen him going for a gun and not realized, hey, it's a plastic trial,
right,
he wouldn't have known about the story, I don't think. Mm-mm. So that's kind of... Yeah, daring, I'd say. No. But yeah, that's out of Austin, so that puts Texas on the map again.
Again. Anybody,
yeah, we're never in the news anymore.
Anybody download the Windows 8.1 update? Play around with it at all?
No.
I've been using it. I kind of like it. It's kind of interesting. I don't think Microsoft went far enough to assuage the Windows 8 haters.
Well, they didn't make the start button do anything except send you to the desktop.
Well, you can right-click on the Start button and get a lot of the things that were on the Start menu, but just as kind of text. So it's kind of a faux Start menu. But it does some other things that make it a little less jarring, like you can have the same desktop on the Metro side as the traditional desktop side, so it's not as it has some continuity. And I really love using the all app screen on Windows 8, where it's which is kind of like the programs list in Windows 7 and Windows XP, but kind of spread out. It's like an exploded view of all your programs, and they made it much easier to get to that. There's a little arrow at the bottom of the Start screen that has all the tiles that takes you right to it, and that makes it much easier to find things. And I think a lot of people who are frustrated with it will like that, but it's kind of like all these half-hearted, okay, we'll give you a few bones, you know, if you quit belly aching about Windows 8.
Is it true that you get to vote on the Microsoft reorganization plan if you have the 8.1?
Yes, I think so.
Penny Arcade weighed in on the whole 8.1 thing a few days ago. Not appropriate for over the air.
No, it's not appropriate.
But very accurate, I think. Accurate.
Yes. Yeah, essentially it's like, it is, it's basically bone tossing is what it is. And it's, and I have gotten to the point where when I'm using Windows 8, I like using Windows 8. And, you know, it makes all the difference if you, like I use it with the touchpad that lets you do the same kind of things you can do on a touch screen. And that works. That makes it nice. But I think people don't really give it a chance.
Well, I thought, you know, right now there's like Best Buy has a thing where you can like trade your iPhone 4S and just straight for an iPhone 5. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to have to take advantage of it because my 4S, which is in great shape and looks great and all that, it wouldn't charge. I kept plugging it in and you had to like fiddle with it to get the like, to get it to make the sound and show the, you know, battery icon that it was charging. And a couple days ago, I plugged it in, you know, just so on the nightstand. And in the morning, I got up and I got a phone call. And after the phone call, I look and it was only 20% charged. Mm. And so I thought, you know, before I go and take on two more years of servitude with the various cell phone providers, I'm going to look this up. And they said to, you know, there were suggestions that weren't going to help, but one of them said to take a toothpick and like clean out the contacts where the power stuff goes. And you would have no idea how much lint and gunk was in the bottom of this phone.
Jay knows.
I know.
It's like somebody's belly button
you
lint.
You had the same thing happen. Right?
Are you making fun of me, Pete?
No. I was sitting there with this toothpick standing there, and I'm like just sort of picking at it, and some stuff comes out, and you're like, oh, good. Well, that's good. And then it's like more and more, and all it's right, like you could knit a sweater from
you
this
missed
thing.
Last week when I talked about having to go to the Apple store and have a genius clean my charge hole.
Oh. Yeah, I did not listen.
That was the week before. That was the week he was not here.
Yeah, so. Well, my iPhone, I had the same problem. And my iPhone, even though it's that little lightning connector, too, right. It's tiny. And I noticed it wasn't getting the charge. You plug it in and it go boop, and then it go boop. And then I could wiggle it and it would start to charge. But I would left it charging all night and it wasn't fully charged. Like, what the heck's going on?
Where do you keep your phone?
In my pocket.
Your pants pocket?
Pants pocket. Charge hold down.
Because I wonder if it, because you wear jeans most of the time, right?
No, I wear slacks.
Slacks? They're kind of linty.
I have a little lint buildup. But at any rate.
I keep it up here, not linty.
Do you wash them regularly?
Look, I wear a pair of pants for a week and then I change. Just like any other adult male. No, I took it to the Apple store because it wasn't obvious. I mean, I looked at it and now I know what to look for, but I looked at it. It didn't seem like there was anything gunking it up. But I took it into the Apple store and I didn't have an appointment and they kind of had this weird little look in their eye. Oh, you don't have an appointment. Okay, well, it's going to be about 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. So the guy comes along and I explain my problem to him and he takes my phone and he goes away and 5 minutes later, he comes back and he says, "Okay, here it's working now. You had lint in your charger." And
did you use the word charge hole while you were in the?
I should have, but no, I did not.
And they also found pennies, which is amazing because they're bigger than the lightning connector.
But the gist of the story was that they did it for free. You know, I mean, if he'd gotten into Best Buy, it would have been a $50 or $200 diagnostic fee or whatever to even have somebody look at it. It wasn't technically a warranty issue. It was a maintenance issue. But they just fixed it. I'm sure they have to clean out people's charge holes all the time. They probably got a bucket of user charge hole discharge. Yeah.
Well, now I don't feel so bad because I, like, figured it out at home.
If I had known, I could have saved myself some time because I like digging stuff out with a toothpick. I dig it in my charge hole with a toothpick. All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. I thought we had a call, but now they hung up.
I think we scared them off.
The rumors are in the new iPhone that all that lint will, like, build up in this kind of plastic holder, and you can pop it out, you know, like a zit.
Oh.
Maybe that crossed the line.
They should have, like, a little tray you can pull out. What I've also noticed, too, is that my iPhone case tends to get some gunk inside of it.
So yeah, I mean, this all the gunk and all the stuff that comes with humans, you know, that give off oils and everything touching computing. That's why I'm not quite yet a fan of Windows 8.1 because it's so much of it's driven over touching, you know, the screen.
Yeah,
and that's like a pet peeve. People touching my monitor. That's like saying, hey, here's a new great user interface, and all you do to move the mouse is you drag your fingernails across this chalkboard. It's like it's on that level with me. Like I don't want people touching until they get like the hydrophobic or you know the oil phobic. Smart screen, oleophobic, petrophobic.
Would you tend to let somebody use your mouse or keyboard at your workstation?
But it never fails. It's like someone will come into my office and I've got like a big screen and it doesn't matter if it's a developer or a manager or whoever. And I'll always like twist the screen to them. And I know that like I don't have to tell this person, please don't touch my monitor because they're not the type to do it.
Cheaters.
And then before you know it, they throw their hand up there and they touch, like, is it right here? And you know, big fingerprint across the monitor.
Move this?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with the touch screen.
Well, no, it would, though. I mean,
Do you think it would draw them more into touching your screen? Oh, is that one of the touch screens?
Well, no, I just think anyone touching it, me touching it. I don't want to see a fingerprint on the monitor. That's my whole point. Like, I don't like any kind of funk on my screen.
I have at a review unit of an HP touchscreen desktop. It's a 23-inch screen. And what's interesting, it may have an oleophobic coating on it because I don't notice it. I keep looking at it and going, should I clean this? But I don't see that on it. And one of the things, particularly on a big touchscreen monitor, is because particularly when it's on and it's bright and it's at you, you generally don't see it. It's when it goes dark. But even when it's dark, I don't see it. Hmm. So I think the touchscreen, at least the HP one, seems to have some kind of coat. I haven't had to clean it yet, and I've had it for quite a while.
I know it's occasionally irritating when I look at my iPad, though, especially if you're out somewhere and you see all the grease on the screen from, you know, because it's not on. Although sometimes actually it's enough where you can tell that it's like dimming, you know, where you can see the, where you put your hands on there to do, I don't know, Words with Friends or whatever, or to flip pages or any of that stuff, where you can, there's a whole zone where you can tell your hand was on the screen. And I try to carry the, I do try to keep the little microfiber thing around with me so I can get rid of that. But
I keep with me. I had to get a new case. The
your clear case is not so clear anymore.
It went rancid. Yellow and then kind of green. It got like this sea green look to it, and I couldn't take that. So I went ahead and I went back to the original case style that I had for my iPhone 4, which is a Griffin Reveal, which is a clear plastic back and then kind of your traditional plastic bumper, I mean rubber bumper around the edge of it. It looks really good, rubber baby buggy bumpers, and it looks quite good on the white iPhone. But I keep hearing from people that it gets junk underneath it on the in the backside.
Mine,
I haven't seen that yet.
Mine does that when I because I have this dual case thing here, and if I take it off, there'll be stuff inside of this little rubber housing here. Not right now, but because I pinned it recently. But I get stuff inside of there, and it kind of gunks up on the phone. God, this thing does not look shiny and new anymore.
If only there was another one coming out soon that you could desire.
Well, there is, but you can't have it because of those dang contracts.
Well, I can. Well,
he has a hand down now. He can. Right. He could make it part of Cynthia's geek education.
That's true. She's due for getting a cell phone.
Are you sure you shouldn't bring her up slowly and get like a bag phone, or just get her an iPhone and a car battery?
You know, it kills me. She had one of those 80s cell phones, the big honking ones.
Calling an airstrike kind of cell phone?
Yeah, you know. But unfortunately, it got purged during one of her, like, get rid of everything motions. And so I was like, man, I really wish I had that phone. That'd be cool to have right now. All right, so I was looking online, and apparently Honda is not interested in fixing this problem. It's a known problem with the iPhone. It's iOS 6, I'm guessing. A lot of people are reporting that they're having issues on supported device, but neither Apple is going to fix it or Honda is going to fix it. Because I'm sure it's not Honda that provides a system. That's a third party that provides the audio system or this navigation system that's all built into. So if I could find out who makes the audio system to see if there's some way to ROM update that, I might have luck. But somebody on one of the forums suggested, and this, although not the most ideal, it would probably be fine for me, is to turn off Siri. They said that he's had luck when one guy suggested it, and other people said they've tried it and that it's worked for them, and they turned off Siri and that now it works. So I don't know why that would be, but I'm wondering if the new iOS 7 will overcome any of those issues, if that'll be like a behind-the-scenes kind of thing.
Possible. Siri, I know that Siri, when you're talking to your when you're using Bluetooth, Siri goes through the Bluetooth.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm making a Bluetooth connection for my phone to work. So, like, if I press hold the phone button and get Siri comes up, that goes over my Bluetooth, even if I'm plugged into the charger. So I'm wondering if there's some kind of other Bluetooth communication going on. I don't know. I don't really feel like it should be me that has to figure this out. I mean, this just seems like the car manufacturers need to deal with this issue.
And I remember reading why this change was made in iOS 6. I don't remember what it was, but when they explained it, it made sense as to why it's not compatible
anymore. Well, I mean, I don't think you can really blame Apple or blame people like that for changing it. I mean, software moves that quickly. The issue is that you now have a software interface going to a piece of hardware that people don't change but every 6 or 7 years.
Right.
So the automakers are going to have to get in the motion, get the notion that, hey, we're going to have to update this at least once a year every couple of years.
Well, Inflicted's automobile does that.
They seem like they are. But I think he is one of those people that are they're doing some cool designs. They may be a little bit more hungry. They're a little bit more technologically savvy than a lot of the other brands. And the other big ones just don't seem to be doing it. I mean, Mercedes has like an over-the-air firmware upgrade, but they're the only ones. Even that opens up its own issues because do I want a car that someone can, you know, change the firmware via cell phone?
Right.
I don't know.
It's a Microsoft product in the car. Microsoft is used to being able to update.
People push whatever they want.
Right,
yeah.
So they push what they want. All right. Roomhouse?
Yes.
Who's up next?
All right, up next on the show, we are going to speak with Araceli.
Araceli, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm a member, so you have to help me.
So you think. We don't have to. Well, okay. We'll help you.
So I have an iMac 5X, 10.58, and it's connected to an HP PhotoSmart all-in-one print scanner and copier. But let me tell you, I can print and I can copy, but when I try to scan documents, I have an error that says USB not connected, but it is.
Okay, so when you try to... Now, I assume that you downloaded the software that's required to operate the printer that has the scanner and all that from HP, right?
A long, long time ago, when I bought the computer and the printer, yes.
Did it used to work?
Yes.
Okay, have you tried reinstalling that HP software?
No, they reinstall. No, I haven't, but do I need a software that I might not have anymore?
You can download the software. You can download it from the HP site. In fact, there might even be newer software. So if you go to support.hp.com or Google HP support, or if you Google the model of the printer plus drivers, you'll be taken to an HP support site that will allow you to re-download that software.
The fact that it was working and now it's not working could be hardware specifically for that functionality.
Or just have you tried swapping out the cable?
To
another USB cable.
Different USB cable.
Yeah, sometimes the cable just goes bad.
Oh, I haven't tried that, so I might do that.
It might be worth a shot. It might be worth a shot to try a different USB cable or try disconnecting it and plugging it into a different USB port on the computer.
Oh, I have tried that. I have tried to connect it to another USB porter. But maybe I can go to the Hewlett Packard.
It's worth a shot. I haven't run into it so much with Apple computers, but with Windows computers, it's not uncommon to have to reinstall printer driver software when stuff starts not working properly. But hopefully it's not a sign that your USB port is going out or at the printer's failing. I mean, that is also possible.
Okay.
Right, can I have your membership number, please, so we can write that down in our log? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it was expensive, let me tell you, but I love KPFC. It's worth it.
All right. Well, thank you for your call and thank you for your support.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So, we were talking about cars and music and stuff. So, I kind of have love is a strong term. I'm not going to use it. I have a like-hate relationship with SiriusXM. I kind of like the fact, because I don't like much of the terrestrial radio music that gets played normally, like when I'm driving around. They don't play the type of stuff I normally like to listen to. So SiriusXM has a wide selection. But again, even them, they only, like as far as electronic music, they only have about 3 or 4 channels, and they really don't play most of the type of stuff I prefer to listen to, although they have some selection. But it's very convenient for when I get in the car and turn it on that music just starts playing, and I don't have to wait for my phone to connect via Bluetooth and use battery on my phone to play music unless I want to. So it's just nice that it's kind of there. However, Sirius is not particularly cheap. But when I bought the car, I got a free trial for, I think, 6 months. And then when I was going to not continue it, they offered me 6 months for like $30, which is, I'm like, $5 a month. That's worth it to have that convenience. But the problem with it is that when you pay for it with your credit card, they put that on file, and then they automatically renew you at the end, and it's at whatever their regular rate is at that time. And there's no way you cannot call them and tell them that I don't want it to auto-renew. Like, it's not an option. It auto-renews. So your service doesn't stop. There's no interruption. And they can charge you way more because you forgot to call and cancel it before they recharged you again. But so all that to say, though, if you remember and you put it in your calendar as a reminder or something to call and cancel, usually you can say, and this is what I just did a few days ago, look, you know, I didn't mind paying this $5 a month. That seemed reasonable. But now you want to charge me $18 a month. Like, I'm not going to pay it. I want to cancel. And if you talk to them on the phone, then usually they'll say, well, you know, would you be willing to keep it if we gave you the same rate again? So I got another 6 months for $5 a month.
For XM?
Yeah.
I canceled my XM a couple of weeks ago.
Like I said, if you don't call and cancel, it will auto-renew, it all auto-charge. Fortunately, that card had been canceled.
That's so what
they
to
couldn't
me.
Auto-renew me because they couldn't charge that card. But the new card I gave them to pay for my 6 months now, it isn't set to expire within those 6 months. So if I don't call them, then on that last day, they'll charge me the current rate for it to continue. And so
seems like you might want to get one of those ones that you load with cash on your own, like Netspend or something, and use that for that kind of deal.
I thought about that like after I had talked to them. I thought about, you know, it would be good to get a prepaid card.
Can you change the card that's on file? Like, get one now and then change what card's on file?
I think you can. I think you can. Because when I went in, I think the system was still updating from the information I gave them, so it was still showing my old card that had already expired and was a different number than the one I gave them. So I'll have to check today or in the next few days and see if it updates on my account with the new card information I gave them. But that is a good idea. That's what I should do, is just go get a prepaid card and give that to them as information so that they can't actually charge my account.
Well, they have this weird thing when I was talking to XM, and they went to, they said, well, if we offer you this price, will you stay with us? And then it's like, it's a discounted price for a certain number of months, but it's not even the full contract or whatever. So you say we want to sign up for 6 months, they'll give you a discounted rate for 5 months and then full rate for six on the 6 month or something.
Really?
It was just weird the way they were phrasing it.
It's weird. You should call them up and say, look, my friend is getting service for 6 months for $30. It was $25 because with taxes and stuff, it came out to like $32. $25 for 6 months. It's a promotional rate. You know, but my friend's getting that, and yeah, I'll sign up if I can get that, and they might do it. I mean, it seems like they're willing to deal, because I don't think it's worth $18 a month personally. But $5 a month, it seems like there's enough of a convenience there that I can listen to it, and there's a couple of channels I like.
Yeah,
you know, and instead of terrestrial radio, where I generally like one out of every 15 to 20 songs, normally, at least on this one, I like one out of every 5 or 6
songs. For the amount of time that I'm in my car and actually listening to music, I could justify using my data to give my Soma or X.
I do that. It's just nice to not have to get your phone out and hook it up to Bluetooth or wait for it to hook up to Bluetooth and then have to start the apps and do all that stuff. For me, it's just kind of nice to turn on the car and it's playing. To me, that's worth $5 a month to not have to use my phone, except when I want to. Which I also do sometimes, because I'll stream Soma or Pandora, DIFM, or listen to like local stuff on my phone.
All right, 713-526-5738 is the phone number to call if you want to be on the air. Actually, we're running out of time, but we do have a call. Looks like we have a call coming in, so it'd be nice to have a call to go out with. Call maybe two, but it's 10 minutes before the top of the hour. 8 minutes before the top of the hour, technically. So, we are running out of time. I did discover that, you know, when you're looking around for information about your Honda Accord, it helps to know what generation the car is. I mean, knowing the year helps, but also because
you mean it's like there are, just like with a Mac, there's like
mid-2012, well, like early 2012, like that?
No, or? like the Accord that came out for 2013 mm-hmm. is the ninth generation of the Honda Accord. You know, they change it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's like Doctor Who.
Yeah, so mine's an eighth generation Honda Accord. So if you're finding, unfortunately, it's like anything else with, like, if you don't know the right terms, you don't know how to speak right. the lingo, right. you don't find the good help. So you go hit up the Honda forums, and people are talking about their eighth gen, blah, 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 da. And if you don't understand that they're talking about your car, you don't know. And like this guy had posted, I did a search on Honda Accord, that's a 2012 Honda Accord firmware. And it took me to this post that said, this guy says, hey, I just got a call from the dealership. The new firmware came out for my car, fixed the problem. I'm going to the dealership. I got to install it. Turns out it's the 2013. It's the ninth. I looked at the name of the forum. It's ninth generation Honda. So these guys talking about the 2013 because the 2013 actually supports the USB connection. I mean, the Bluetooth connection, whereas my car doesn't do the audio over Bluetooth. So, I just got to see if there is any option. Because it seems to me that it should work.
You might talk to them about the possibility of putting a newer
system
in it.
You could go to a car installer and they'll put
whatever system
17-inch touchscreen in there for you.
And spinners.
Well, I paid extra for the one with the navigation system that has all this functionality or whatever. And,
right,
and
it just didn't happen to do what you needed it that year, right?
Right. So hopefully, it'll be curious to see, too, what when they're talking about the iOS 6 integration on new cars, and Honda's one of the ones.
iOS 7.
iOS 7, yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. Because that would be the coolest.
Right, but you'll have to get a new car.
To go in and tell them, y'all need to update this system, and that if that involves also updating the vehicle, so be it.
It's my impression that in most cases, the from what I've seen of the technology in cars, Bluetooth, touchscreen, that it largely sucks compared to what you can get just on, you know, a smartphone.
To me, they're kind of where TVs were 3 or 4 years ago, where they realized they could do it and they probably should do it, but they really didn't know what they were doing. And, you know, and then they're looking at it like, we're not making any money off this stuff anymore, so...
But
we're not going
to
pay this third-party company to keep up to date with what's happening and give us new software because we're moved on to the next year's models that has new firmware, that has new chips in it. And, I mean, they do that with TVs too. You know, I mean, my TV, my DVD player, like all that, you know, they're internet connected and I plug it in and it's like, oh, there's a software update. And then, you know, two months later, it's like, there's a software update. But somewhere around after 8 or 9 months, you never see another one, right? Update ever.
The New York Times had a story about the American automobile industry starting to hire programmers to do user interface work and to, you know, develop apps for cars. So in a few years, it'll get better, but it's going to take a few years.
They learned their upgrade path from watching Apple. You just buy a new one.
Right, exactly. Wow, we got some really cool new features we want to show you. I mean, sell you. Well, you know, I don't spend that much time in my car, but as I start to integrate my technology a little bit more and more, like through my media at home, on my smart TV, using Netflix and streaming media content, it'd be nice for all this stuff to work. So I think really all they probably need is in the car, there needs to be a way to just plug your device in and have whatever's on the phone replicated to the screen and be voice activated. That we wouldn't have to upgrade.
That's probably what iOS 7 and Siri will do.
You don't have to upgrade the device in the car. All it is it's just an external monitor to your smartphone or your iPod or whatever. All right, well, we got to get out of here because we're out of time. We're out of touch. And we're out of time. Geek Gathering this Friday.
Yes.
At cons, go to geekradio.com for information on the Geek Gathering, and we hope you'll join us. It is our birthday. We're 18. It's our party. We can eat at a food truck if we want to.
We're going to get lucky.
All right, well, I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Garrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groove House.
Yay, Groove House.
Hi, this is Larry Winters. Music and song has always been a powerful medium for social awareness and change. On Saturday, July 6th, Spare Change and the Progressive Forum invite you to attend an evening of music featuring Grant Peebles and Matt Harlan, along with some special guests to bring you a slice of American music that will make you proud that KPFT is a conduit of ideas and freedom to express yourself. This event is at the world-famous Anderson Fair 2007 Grant in Houston. Doors open at 7 p.m. and music will start at 8. This is an opportunity to support KPFT and the artists that have the courage to express themselves in this age of surveillance and corporate control media. Please join Wally James and myself for a refreshing evening of music and ideas that can only make you proud that you support the progressive sounds of KPFT. This is KPFT Houston.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites Twitter and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. Join our fan page and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. Visit facebook.com/KPFT Houston to join us. To follow us, visit twitter.com/KPFT. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun. So